You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. As you know, brothers and sisters, we are now entering the fifth Sunday of Easter. A new heaven and a new earth. Oh my goodness, how we long for it. This long winter was made nearly unbearable by the terrible war that goes on and on. Misery on top of misery. We look at the ruined cities and the millions of people living far away from home and loved ones. This war is too much with us, and yet it seems that turning our eyes away is the coward's way out. We force ourselves to see, to know, to pray. But springtime and Easter were made especially joyful this year due to our experience here at church, helping resettle young, hopeful Afghan families already learning English and the bus lines, and also Ukrainian families as well. And the funny way Americans do things, that's what they're seeing. They will thrive and succeed and live happy lives here. And yet we must force ourselves to know about and to pray for those left in these war-torn countries. When John wrote his revelation, he was writing to seven communities of the infant church. His great insight into what constituted the great new heaven and earth was this: when the kingdom of God comes, God will bring heaven to earth, and God will reign. And where God is, there is no war, nor, as in Afghanistan or in Ukraine, starvation left in its wake. We long for a new earth, with millions of species finding their way back to life, and clean rivers and oceans without plastic. All that and more was envisioned by John. Winter replaced with eternal spring, and every tear we've ever cried wiped away by God. Does this vision have its time? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Brothers and sisters, the fifth Sunday of Lent, well, you know, Scripture, John 12, verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What a comfort this passage is for anyone who is grieving right now. The death of a friend or a loved one can seem so final. It's hard to see beyond the grave. We are not mindful of the truth that death is a new beginning for all of us. But like the grain of wheat that falls into the rich earth and grows and flourishes, an earthly life planted in Christ is just the beginning of something new and beautiful. We need to remember that our lives are a gift, and therefore we should make the most of them in spite of the worries and stresses we might face. God does not abandon us, brothers and sisters. He does not forget us in those times, just as God doesn't abandon us at death. Instead, He invites us even into a richer life, one that is eternal. So then before John 12, John 8, verse 11, go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. John 8, verse 11. One of the great mysteries of the New Testament is the question of what Jesus writes in the sand when confronted with the woman caught in adultery. Okay, so I wonder what Jesus wrote in the sand on that day when the crowds brought this unnamed woman forward to be stoned. Was it the name of the man with whom she was caught, a line from scripture, a wise saying. Whatever Jesus wrote is lost to history, and so shall our sins be. If we allow Christ's love to change us, we can, like St. Paul, forget what lies behind us and strain forward to what lies ahead. The former things have passed away. God is about to do something new with us, again and again. God creates us anew. For this we have cause to rejoice. We are not bound by past sins. We can look at our lives with loving compassion, learn from our errors and sins, and move forward to a brighter future filled with more life-changing encounters with God's love and mercy. So, those are one of the great mysteries of the New Testament, is what Jesus wrote in the sand, right? The scribes and the Pharisees, the legalists, who want the letter of the law observed, but not necessarily with a pastoral interpretation. Again, not to trip up, they're trying to trip up Jesus, reminding him of their understanding of the law as stated by Moses. But Jesus doesn't respond right away. Instead, he traces something in the dust. It's easy to imagine the frustration of those awaiting an answer. And when he responds, his answer is stunning. It leaves his critics no comeback. Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Indeed, he then offers the woman not condemnation, but encouragement not to sin again. Her sins are not ignored, but forgiven. And suddenly the words in the dust are meaningless. Brothers and sisters, you know, we ask for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean we are going to go and repeat that sin after Easter, just because 4 weeks have passed and you say, oh, well, you know, I didn't do it then, but now I'm going to be myself again and I'm going to revert back to the way I was. No, this is a great opportunity to be a transformed person. I wanted to share with you something, brothers and sisters, so special. And it was given to us through our Legion of Mary, which has been such a blessing in my life. It has brought me such peace and comfort and friendship and love and a better understanding of my relationship with Mother Mary. And it's called, and I don't know, but it's beautiful because we all suffer, brothers and sisters, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's mental concerns, we all suffer in some way. And what I have here in front of me, it's called The Value of Suffering. And I wanted to share it with you so that you be comforted today. So it says, when God permits suffering, it is for our betterment. So this is by this. And so what I'm going to share with you are different quotes, and I will tell you the name of the person after I read the quote. Okay. But they're so encouraging, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did and take comfort in the words. An ounce of crosses is more than 1,000 pounds of prayer. A day of crucifixion is more valuable than 100 years of all other holy exercises. It is of more value to stay one moment on the cross than to enjoy all the delights of paradise. Venerable Sister M. Victoria Angelini. When Blessed Angelina of Foligno was asked how she could accept and suffer so happily all the trials that befell her, she replied, "Believe me when I say that the value and greatness of suffering is not known. If we understood it well, we would try our utmost to steal from one another the occasions of suffering." A thanks be to God, a blessed be God, said in times of adversity, have more value than 1,000 thank yous in times of prosperity, by Father M. Davila. While ill and suffering severely, Saint Francis was told by one of his religious that he should ask God for some relief, but the saint reprimanded him and said, bowing his head, said, "O God, I thank you for this trial which I am undergoing, and I beg you, if it pleases you, to increase my pains. What could and should be more pleasing to me than you afflict me, when this is what I desire above everything else?" In order to get to heaven, we must suffer. Our Lord shows us the way in the person of Simon the Cyrenian. He calls his friends to carry his cross after him. St. John Vianney. Our Lord told St. Faustina, if the angels were capable of envy, they would envy us for two things. One is the receiving of Holy Communion, and the other is suffering. If God were to grant you the gift of raising the dead, he would be giving you much less than when he permits you to suffer. In fact, with the gift of miracles, he makes you his debtor, but with sufferings, he makes himself your debtor. And if your sufferings should not be rewarded in any other way, but to be able to suffer a little for that God who loves you, would not this be a sufficiently great recompense in itself? He who loves understands what I mean. St. John Chrysostom. To have everything go along smoothly, according to one's desires, and without having anything to suffer for the love of God, should be considered a great misfortune, not only for individuals, but also for the congregations as a whole. Yes, you may be certain that a person or congregation does not suffer and is praised by the whole world is heading for a fall. St. Vincent de Paul. St. Pio of Petrocina wrote to a spiritual daughter, "Suffering is my daily bread, my delight. I suffer when I do not suffer, if there is some instant in my life without suffering. Crosses are the jewels of the spouse, and I am jealous of them. Woe to whoever puts himself between me and the cross." Bodily and spiritual affliction are the surest sign of divine predilection. Gratitude for suffering is a precious jewel for our heavenly crown. Man should always firmly believe that God sends just that trial which is most beneficial for him. St. Gertrude the Great. Suffering is the very best gift he has to give us. He gives it only to his chosen friends. St. Therese of Lisieux. You ought to thank God when he chastises you, for his chastisements are a proof that he loves you and receives you into the number of his children. Whoever the Lord loves, says St. Paul, he chastises, and he scourges every son whom he receives. St. Alphonsus Liguori. Suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. It purifies the soul. True love is measured by the thermometer of suffering. Saint Faustina. The saints suffered everything with joy, patience, and perseverance because they loved. As for us, we suffer with anger, vexation, and weariness because we do not love. If we loved God, we should love crosses. We should wish for them. We should take pleasure in them. We should be happy to be able to suffer for the love of him who lovingly suffered for us. St. John Vianney. When St. Francis and St. Andrew Avellino passed a day without suffering something for the love of God, they felt that God had forgotten them and had abandoned them. The sick sometimes complain that in sickness they can do nothing, but they err, for in their infirmities they can do all things by accepting their sufferings with peace and resignation. St. Alphonsus Liguori. Can you expect to go to heaven for nothing? Did not our dear Savior track the whole way to it with his blood and tears? St. Elizabeth Seton. We must suffer in order to go to God. We forget this truth far too often. St. Madeleine Sophie Barat. Suffering is the money with which one buys heaven. Blessed Theophany Vénard. St. John Vianney relates a story where a good religious complained one day to our Lord that he was being persecuted. He said, "O Lord, what have I done to be treated like this?" Our Lord answered him, "And I, what have I done when I was led to Calvary?" Then the religious understood. He wept. He asked pardon and dared not complain anymore. If God causes you to suffer much, it is a sign that he has great designs for you and that he certainly intends to make you a saint. And if you wish to become a great saint, entreat him yourself to give you much opportunity for suffering. For there is no wood better to kindle the fire of holy love than the wood of the cross, which Christ used for his own sacrifice of boundless charity. Saint Ignatius Loyola. We must ask for the love of crosses, then they will become sweet. Saint John Vianney. We must remember that all incapacity and distress is sent to us by God. Life and death, health and sickness are all ordered by him, and in whatever form they come, it is always to help us and for our good. Saint Vincent de Paul. Suffering is not a punishment, not a fruit of sin. It is a gift of God. He allows us to share in his suffering and to make up for the sins of the world. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Nothing is more pleasing, this is in conclusion, brothers and sisters, nothing is more pleasing to God or more profitable for you than to suffer gladly for Christ. Had there been a better way than suffering for the good of a person's soul, our Lord would certainly have shown it by word and example. But since there was not, he clearly urged his disciples and all those who wished to follow him to carry the cross, saying, "Whoever wishes to be my follower must deny his very self, take up his cross each day, and follow in my steps." Thomas a Kempis. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, brothers and sisters, I pray that that has been an encouragement to you. Also, brothers and sisters, I'm sure you've made time to visit church maybe during the day, hopefully, which I never mentioned actually in any of the broadcasts, but maybe I made an assumption. But to visit church while we have, you know, before Easter, to do the Stations of the Cross, right? And if you have a little handbook or a little prayer, maybe you could download it through Google, but look for a Catholic prayer, right? Rather than some generic, but look for the Catholic prayer. You know, Jesus' journey from Pilate's palace to the cross and then to the tomb is a concrete illustration of God's love for humankind. God's Son came to earth for us. Out of love for every single person, Jesus left God the Father and he emptied himself by coming to live among us. Each of us is the beloved child of God, and nowhere is that more evident than the painfully brutal journey that Jesus took to the cross. Take some time, my friends, to reflect on Jesus' love for you and to ponder whether you've experienced that love in your heart. Are you grateful or do you take it for granted? Then go to each station of the cross and meditate. Imagine yourself in each scene. How did it feel for the people who were present with Jesus? He was surrounded by a ring of soldiers. How did they feel? How do you feel when you put yourself into that scene? Are you one of the soldiers or are you an onlooker from a distance? Think about Mary. Try to put yourself in Mary's position. What pain did she endure? How did she carry her own cross while she watched her son buckling under the weight of his heavy cross as he stumbled along to Golgotha? How did Mary feel when she heard the people taunting her son? How did she feel when Simon was forced to help? How did she feel when Veronica wiped her son's tears? How did Mary feel when they cast lots for his clothes? Did she not want to take something of her son's home with her? Did she not feel that his life was being depersonalized? How did Mary endure seeing her son nailed to the cross between two criminals? What did she think when Jesus asked God the Father to forgive the people? How did Simon feel? What was he doing there? Did he know Jesus? Had he heard Jesus preach? What was Simon thinking as he struggled with the cross? Was he wondering how he had been chosen? Or was he grateful that he could help? Why was Veronica there? How did she feel about Jesus' suffering? Did she suffer as she watched him struggle? Would she have wiped Jesus' face? Why were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus secret disciples? How did they feel when Jesus was crucified? Why did Joseph offer the garden tomb for Jesus? Was he suffering as well? Was he divided between his loyalty to the Jews and his loyalty to Jesus? Was he afraid of the Jewish authorities? There are so many people involved and so many different emotions. Try to stay in the scene and see what God is telling you. And finally, remember that Christians are an Easter people. None of Christ's suffering makes any sense until the resurrection. The resurrection puts everything into the proper perspective. All the evil in the world was no match for God's intended purpose. When we think of our own suffering, how do we accept our cross and live in trust? With God's help, we can carry our own cross, friends, by keeping our eyes on Jesus and the resurrection. God is always with us. And a little homily from Pope Francis. The gospel is very clear. We need to go back there to see Jesus risen and to become witnesses of his resurrection. This is not to go back in time. It is not a kind of nostalgia. It is returning to our first love in order to receive the fire which Jesus had kindled in the world and to bring that fire to all people, to the very ends of the earth. And that was from April 2014. Pope Francis spoke those words at the Vatican Basilica on Holy Saturday, actually. So, brothers and sisters, with the fifth Sunday of Lent, it's as I say, you know, it's hard to believe how quickly time does go by. I'm always mesmerized by that. You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, many of the Jews that were there who had come to with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, they believed in him after that, right? Does it take a miracle of such magnitude to believe in the redeeming power of God? What does it take for you, brothers and sisters? How many miracles fill our lives, yet we fail to grasp what is happening. To capture the significance of the moment, perhaps we need to put aside our analytical minds and see with our imaginations. The mystics had imagination and saw the world in a very different way. For them, the world was shot through with the redeeming power of God. They were able to see and experience it. because they surrendered to God. God put God's Spirit within them and placed them, as Ezekiel tells us, on their own soil. The mystics faced ridicule, contempt, and persecution, yet they continued to use their imagination. They were saved from graves of fear, doubt, or anxiety by experiencing the redeeming power of God. Can we, you and I, dare to imagine a soil of our own? What is that soil for you? Is it a soil of justice and peace, free of fear? Is it a soil where you feel connected? Look again at the world in which we live and see the miracles leading you to that soil. Come to the table, draw strength from the Eucharist, and dare to imagine. You know, brothers and sisters, Christ and the Holy Spirit dwell in you, and they give you life. Jesus is life, brothers and sisters. Jesus is life. So let's be strong. So whatever we're going through, even during this Lenten season, and maybe you've had some challenges, and that's why I wanted to share the sufferings. My little flyer here. You know, the value of suffering. I wanted to share that with you. And I keep it always in front of me because it's a good reminder for myself as well. Sometimes, you know, I'm dealing with anxious thoughts and worry or whatever, or sadness comes over me, you know, each beautiful season like Christmas and Easter is difficult because most of my loved ones are in heaven. And so there's not very many left of us here, but at the same time, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what I have, for what I've had. I'm grateful that I did suffer at one point, and there are times that I suffer, but now I'm learning, like you, maybe you're a little more in tune with our Lord. But I too, you know, I find that sometimes I'm struggling, and I try my very best to ask God to help me with it, to give me strength, to help me accept my suffering, and to look at it as not as something, especially what Saint Teresa, what Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, suffering is not a punishment, not a fruit of sin, it's a gift of God. He allows us, she said, he allows us to share in his suffering and to make up for the sins of the world. Wow, what a different way to look at life. What a way to look at our pains that we go through, that we can accept it. They're not going to be easier, you know, but that we're going to be able to deal with it. We're going to be able to cope with it. We're going to have a more calm way of looking at things and not panicking and not being fearful. And I think that's what the Lord wants. Do not fear. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So brothers and sisters, thank you so much. Thanks again for being with me on this beautiful season of Lent. God bless each and every one of you. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Change a single day.